content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dami Arsenault from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Lion Magazine. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the March 2024 issue of Lion Magazine. We'll begin today with the President's message, entitled Rising to the Challenge. As we prepare for a great 2024, Lions remain committed to Mission 1.5, our drive to reach 1.5 million members and increase our capacity to serve those who need us. The need to grow is urgent, and I'm genuinely inspired by the way you are rising to meet this challenge. More members will allow us to do more service over the coming years, and the momentum we create will have a powerful ripple effect into the future. As we grow, our stories of service will increase, our collective voice will get louder, and we will inspire even more people to serve with us. The mission is bold, but so are Lions. Now is the time to be brave. Don't be afraid to invite people to join your club. Some will say yes, and some will say not now. But don't be discouraged. No doesn't necessarily mean never. I didn't become a Lion the first time I was asked because the timing wasn't right. But when I did, it changed my life. You have the power to change someone's life too. All you have to do is ask. Growing our membership and increasing our service in pursuit of our Mission 1.5 goal is how we are changing the world together. Sincerely, Dr. Patty Hill, International President of Lions Club International. Our next article is from our Global Service Department from Australia. Off the grid. Lion-owned wilderness camp helps children and the environment. After a week at Lion's Lakola Wilderness Village in the high country of Victoria, Australia, campers go home with more than increased confidence and fun memories with new friends. They also take with them a feeling of pride from living off the grid and helping the environment. But that wasn't always the case. The township of Lakola, about 250 miles or 254 kilometers east of Melbourne, is owned entirely by the Lions Clubs of Victoria and Southern New South Wales. Occupying most of the land is the Lakola Wilderness Village, where Lions have run summer camps for special needs, refugees, and disadvantaged children from ages 8 to 11 since 1973. In 2019, the Lions invested $860,000 to switch the camp from diesel generators to solar power. 600 solar panels now harvest sunlight from the roof of the stadium and the side of a hill, and two large shipping containers hold the batteries. It's the only town in the state that generates its own power, pumps and treats its own water, and handles its own waste management. It's one of the best things we've ever done, says Lakola Board Chairman Lion Dennis Carruthers. The camp saves roughly $135,000 a year in fuel costs, and the Lions expect to recoup their initial investment after 8 years. More importantly, the camp has cut carbon emissions, a primary cause of global climate change, by 65%. The township has come a long way, not only in the past few years, but in the past half century. The 34-acre property was originally a bush village with a sawmill operation. Workers lived in the 16 washboard houses that are now cabins for campers, and there was a small general store, a post office, and a gas station. In 1966, the mill burned down and the town was put up for sale. Despite marketing the sale worldwide, the land sat idle, and its only visitors were vandals and a few roaming sheep. Two Lions saw the beauty in the land and the opportunities it offered and shared their vision with their fellow Lions. In 1969, they bought the town for $20,000 to establish a wilderness camp for kids. Lions from all over Victoria spent weekends rehabbing and building the camp, and in 1973, it opened. Today, Lions sponsor children, covering all costs and transportation. Individual Lions clubs in Victoria also sponsor the cabins, hosting working bees or club work days, followed by a cookout to help with the maintenance and show pride in their piece of Lacola. With a small staff and an acute shortage of volunteers since the coronavirus pandemic, life at camp is still challenging at times, says camp manager Trevor Karstein. But now they appreciate reliable power. Campers no longer fall asleep to the hum of generators and instead awaken to the sound of birds. The camp is a life changer for the children, says Lion Cynthia Cetterino, a dedicated camp volunteer. It gives them all the confidence in the world. You can visit licola.org.au, and again, that's licola.org.au, to learn more about the camp. And next, we're going to move over to our features department, where we have Uncovering a Legacy. New Lion discovers vintage memorabilia and a way to honor his grandfather. Elmo Kelly of Fontana, California, never imagined a day of spring cleaning would uncover a bridge from the past that would lead him into his future. Tucked away in storage and preserved in pristine condition was a bright purple and yellow lion's hat adorned with colorful pins, a time capsule of Kelly's grandfather, Felix Justo Lopez, who served as a lion in Cuba in the 1950s through the early 60s. "My grandfather was president of the Matanzas Cuba Club," says Kelly. "When he escaped Cuba, along with my grandmother and my mother, after Fidel Castro took power, he continued on as an active and well-respected lion in Miami, Florida. The first Cuban Lions Club was chartered in Havana in 1927. By the early 1940s, the club had 900 members, making it the largest in the world at the time. The country also produced an international president, Dr. Ramiro Collazo, who served in the role from 1945 to 46. Lions International no longer has active clubs in Cuba. In July of 2023, Kelly shared photos of his grandfather's memorabilia on Facebook, along with his desire to find a club. Lions from around the world were delighted to hear his story, and leaders from the North Fontana Centennial Lions Club invited him to their next meeting. Kelly attended that meeting and quickly realized it was the club for him. Just 3 months after his Facebook post, the teacher and published poet was inducted as a lion. "The lion's legacy is about the story told to you and the gift to the world that your grandfather, father, grandmother, father, or sister, whoever, has given through the years," says District 4L5 GET and GLT coordinator Lydia Petrov-Jones. "When we hear stories like Elmo's, we should be proud of our heritage and how we are impacting our families and the world." While Kelly wishes he could have heard directly from his grandfather about his journey as a lion, he is glad he found a way to feel closer to the man whose bravery decades ago paved the way for him to have a life and opportunities he has today. Serving as a lion is one way Kelly can honor his grandfather and carry on the tradition of service, and it's a tradition he hopes to pass down to his own children one day. "I felt I was called to become a member and carry on the tradition my grandfather started," said Kelly. "It feels great to be a member, and I am looking forward to serving my community. I know my grandfather would be very proud of me." Our next feature article is entitled "Paws of Comfort. Lions and their dogs bring comfort to those in need." Driving through North Attleboro, Massachusetts, Deborah Horner, district governor for District 33S, came to a stop when she spotted a young woman training a dog. I pulled into her yard and I said, "Hey, are you a dog trainer?" recalls Horner. She said yes, and I gave her the spiel about lions. That spiel was not only about lions, but also about Southeastern Mass Paws of Comfort, a specialty club formed in 2020 that brings trained dogs, known as comfort dogs, to schools, nursing homes, hospitals, and on visits with people who've experienced tragedies. Today, the young woman is a lead trainer and secretary for the Comfort Dog Specialty Club, which Horner believes to be the first of its kind in the nation. Serving up comfort. Horner's involvement with comfort dogs goes back many years to when she and her previous dogs, Brandy and Ruby, began visiting people who needed a four-legged friend to hug or to pet. In 2019, she and another lion and their dogs visited a school to provide solace after a young boy who, along with other family members, was killed in a car crash. As students entered the room to have their turn with the special visitors, Finnegan, a golden retriever, immediately went to work. With each new group, he would circle the room and find a specific person to cuddle up to, says Horner. I learned later that every child he put his head on was close to the boy who passed away. Horner says dogs are very intuitive, and it's not unusual for them to sense who needs them the most. A special kind of service. According to Horner, visits like these are often heartwarming, but heartbreaking at the same time. They also opened her eyes to how much this type of community service is needed. Already a lion, Horner was privy to the power of service-minded individuals banding together. She pursued the idea of starting a comfort dog specialty club. Horner co-founded the specialty club with lion Monique Tadino, who says the club, which now has 29 members and 17 dogs, has taken off because it attracts new members who share a bond, the love of dogs. It's a way to bring in people who have a common interest and to use that interest to benefit both the community and lion projects, Tadino says. Bringing healing to Sandy Hook, Tadino first witnessed the power of canine comfort while traveling with Horner and her dogs to Connecticut for a playground dedication honoring one of the Sandy Hook elementary school students killed in the 2012 mass shooting. Witnessing a boy laying with his head on a dog's warm belly and hearing him talk about how he missed his friends to play was all she needed to understand the impact that dogs can have on a person coping with grief. From that moment on, I was a believer in the power of paws, Tadino says. Visiting hospitals. The club regularly visits Sturdy Health, which is a hospital in Attleboro, Massachusetts, where Sandy Carrier, a volunteer coordinator, is happy to welcome four-legged friends. Both patients and staff are so excited to see the pups. It really brightens their day, she says. Carrier says that the hospital, which requires comfort dogs to be vaccinated and their human handlers to be immunized, works with the lions because it is a trusted entity. We know that they are able to meet our requirements, Carrier says. Attracting new lions. To help spread the word about Paws of Comfort and attract new members, the club distributes baseball cards featuring the pooches, which come in a variety of breeds and sizes, and information about each of them, such as, "I like to chase a ball," or "I like to make people happy," Horner says. They're also creating a calendar featuring photographs of the dogs that they'll sell to raise money for the club. Horner would like to see where this type of specialty club might be replicated elsewhere. Already, the Cape Cod Paws of Comfort is being organized and is getting advice from the Southeastern Mass Club about how to be successful. Horner has had contact with numerous other lions about how to get a club like this started in their areas. And while the dogs are often the stars of the club, Horner could not be prouder of her fellow human lions. Our members go above and beyond, she says. They work so hard to train their dogs and then go out and do so many wonderful things for the community. It's just an amazing club to be a part of. Comfort versus service dogs. Comfort dogs have received the Canine Good Citizenship, or CGC, award from the American Kennel Club, also known as the AKC, for completing a 10-skill test, which includes accepting a friendly stranger, sitting politely for petting, walking through a crowd, and sitting down on command. Dogs can be trained by their owner or through formal CGC classes. Service dogs, according to the AKC, are dogs specially trained to perform a task or tasks to assist a person with a disability or impairment. A service dog must be with its person at all times and has special access privileges in public places. What is a specialty club? A specialty club is a Lions club formed around a specific hobby, profession, culture, cause, or any other shared passion. There are more than 7,200 specialty clubs around the world, ranging in focus from disaster relief and vision support to sports and the arts. Chartered in the same ways as traditional Lions clubs, specialty clubs are a great way for members to pursue their passion while serving their community. And you can learn more at lionsclubs.org/specialty. And now we're going to move into our LCIF impact stories. Beginning with Rebuilding Nepal, LCIF funds over $4.7 million U.S. dollars in grants to respond to the Gorkha earthquake. On April 25, 2015, a devastating earthquake in Nepal, known as the Gorkha earthquake, took the lives of nearly 9,000 people, injured almost 23,000, and destroyed about 500,000 homes. This was Nepal's worst natural disaster since 1934. Flattening entire villages, hundreds of thousands of Nepalese became homeless within moments. Many aftershocks occurred, which led most of the population to stay outside for at least 4 or 5 nights. Then, on May 12th, a massive aftershock of 7.3 moment magnitude killed over 200 people, injured more than 2,500, and left even more people homeless. This extended disaster caused a great deal of terror within the community. People lost everything and were living outdoors in anguish. As soon as Lions heard about this disaster, they did not hesitate to step in. Lions Club's international project manager and engineer, Mikesh Shrestha, explains, "The disaster brought about an unprecedented level of devastation, loss of lives, and human suffering. The Lions have a strong commitment to humanitarian efforts and are among the first to offer help and support when natural disasters strike." Shortly after the earthquake occurred, Lions Club's International Foundation, also known as LCIF, awarded a major catastrophe grant, also known as an MCAT, of $100,000 to MD325 Nepal for disaster relief. Lions leadership decided to start relief operations in the Gorkha, Dating, and Nuwakot districts, and this relief then spread to other districts within 2 to 3 days. Emergency materials were sent to the epicenter of the earthquake with a helicopter, and on the return journey, the helicopter evacuated injured individuals from the village. Lions in neighboring India and Bangladesh rallied support and relief supplies to assist in the immediate aftermath of the disaster. The two earthquakes also affected 39 school districts, destroying approximately 32,000 classrooms. Many schools began working in temporary learning centers, also known as TLCs. They were unable to accommodate the number of students that they had before the earthquake. Most temporary classes were running under tents, tarps, and corrugated metal for extended periods of time, with very few students lucky enough to work under the prefab structures. Some schools were even conducting their classes in damaged buildings or under the open sky. As a result, students were skipping classes, saying it was difficult to study in such a chaotic environment. When Lyons saw the severe damage schools suffered and how this damage was impacting students, they believed they could make a significant difference. They applied for grant funding from LCIF and were awarded two designated grants totaling over $4.6 million to rebuild 18 schools. Lyons' initial steps were to assess and identify which schools were severely affected. Stressa says, through rigorous surveys of over 70 schools and campuses, we evaluated the extent of damage and urgency for each institution. This phase allowed us to narrow down our focus to the 18 schools that were in critical need and feasible for reconstruction. Schools play an important role in molding future leaders, and this earthquake left nearly 1.5 million children without a proper learning environment. Past council chairperson Gidari Sharma Busal says, Lyons felt that these new school buildings are not just physical structures, but symbols of hope, empowering children with the means to learn, grow, and realize their true potential. As the project chairperson of the Reconstruction Committee, Busal knew Lyons could improve the lives of thousands of students if they just kept pushing the project forward even when they faced hardships. Regrettably, they did face significant challenges, but they persisted for the sake of the students. According to Shrestha, 13 of the 18 school locations were quite far away and located in areas with tough landscapes and no proper road access. Materials had to be manually carried to some sites and even became completely unreachable during the rainy season. Despite all the challenges, Lyons felt this project was incredibly rewarding. Busal says it was a matter of great satisfaction for all of us, as the project was carried out within the stipulated time frame in line with the design and cost estimates. It imparted greater confidence in our ability and our diligence. It testified to the fact that Nepalese Lyons can act successfully in collaboration with all state and non-state stakeholders. Through this impactful collaboration, Lyons and LCIF invested a hopeful future for the students in Nepal, not offering just classrooms, but space to encourage learning for generations to come. And next, rising from the rubble, Morocco's road to recovery after the 2023 earthquake. On September 8, 2023, a powerful earthquake of magnitude 6.8 struck Morocco. The epicenter was in the High Atlas Mountains, 71 kilometers or 44 miles southwest of Marrakesh. This was the largest earthquake to hit the country in more than 100 years. Homes, schools, hospitals, and other medical and educational facilities were destroyed. The United Nations reported that roughly 300,000 people were likely affected by the earthquake. With nearly 3,000 deaths and 5,600 injured victims, it was a shattering tragedy. After witnessing their country experience so much loss, Lyons in Morocco felt it was important to spread hope by serving students who had been impacted by this disaster. According to the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, the earthquake damaged or destroyed more than 500 schools and more than 50 boarding schools, suspending classes in approximately 40 municipalities. After emergency needs were met, additional assessments were completed in the region, and Lyons developed a plan to help the youth return to school. Lyons Clubs International Foundation, also known as LCIF, awarded the Lyons in Morocco a $100,000 major catastrophe grant, enabling them to install prefabricated classrooms and toilet blocks. In the village of Amsmiz, they will install 12 classrooms and 3 restrooms, and in the village of Mejat, they will install 3 classrooms and 1 restroom. The devastation we've seen as a result of this earthquake is truly heartbreaking and impacted people of all ages, says Lyons Clubs International President Dr. Patty Hill. We hope this grant project can bring a small bit of relief to the youth in the region by rebuilding a place where they can gather to comfort each other as well as continue to learn. Even in the most challenging circumstances, Lions are dedicated to helping communities rise from the rubble of disaster with hope and purpose. LCIF disaster relief grants empower Lions to see beyond the devastation of these events and focus on serving their communities in meaningful ways. As the only global foundation serving Lions, LCIF is grateful to offer numerous grant options to support various stages of disaster relief operations, thanks to the generosity of donors worldwide. When disaster strikes, Lions are among the first to respond to the needs of the people impacted, LCIF chairperson Brian Sheehan says. Our members live and work in the region and will remain poised to help communities continue to rebuild after this tragedy. LCIF is proud to be able to support their efforts. And our final article is Unthinkable Journeys, Serving Families with Childhood Cancer. According to World Health Organization, over 1,000 children are diagnosed with cancer every day. While childhood cancer can be treatable, the outcome often depends on the child's access to proper resources and health care. Nonetheless, it is a devastating journey for families. Since cancer impacts many children and their families, Lions all over the world have found unique ways to support families facing this terrible journey. In Ribeirão Preto, Brazil, Lions decided to help expand the Children with Cancer Support Group, also known as the GACC, so they could serve even more people. The GACC is a nonprofit organization that provides a hostel for children receiving cancer treatment at the hospital Crianca. The support house was able to accommodate up to 15 children at one time and serves an average of 250 children per year. The Lions of District LC6 are using a childhood cancer grant of $80,602 from Lions Clubs International Foundation, or LCIF, for this expansion project. Lions Clubs Ribeirão Campos Elíseos and Ribeirão Preto Ipiranga were directly involved. Before the project started, only one member of a hospitalized child's family could accompany them in the support home. Lions wanted the children to have more support from additional members of their family while they are all struggling through this difficult time. And sadly, I'm going to have to abbreviate that article for the sake of time, because we've run out of time for today's episode of Lion Magazine. Be sure to tune in next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. Lion Magazine is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. And again, that number is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, and have a wonderful day.